my gosh. Welcome back to another episode of Resting Bitch with me, Allie Makovsky. I look different. Yeah, I know that. I have orange hair now, and I got hot. This past week, something has changed, and I am on a new level of attractiveness. I don't know what happened. I think something in the London water has changed me, but there is a difference. I was at the Comedy Store last night, and people were saying that I'm glowing. Am I pregnant? It's possible. I am not on birth control and don't use condoms. So maybe that's where the glow is coming from, but I think it's just confidence. I have this newfound confidence that happens when you travel the world. Yeah, I am a ginger now, which feels good. I've wanted to do it since I saw Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born with her copper hair. So beautiful. And now that's me. And yeah, it is because I want to be closer with Andrew Santino and feel like his sister. Is it working? No, I haven't heard from him in years. But do people ask me if we're related? No, they actually don't either. But, you know, whatever. I am liking it, though. I think I might keep it up for a little bit. I think I might continue on this orange blossom train. I don't know. It's kind of fun. I do look like a full-on Bernie supporter. And that's fine with me. He had a heart attack. That's crazy. And then the next day, he's like, I'm fine. Please, believe me, I'm fine. Vote for me. Every word I say, spit comes out of my mouth. And that's beautiful. It is impressive to have such a moist mouth. I have dry mouth all the time, and I don't smoke weed. My mouth is just always dry. And speaking of a dry mouth, I was trying to get sponsored by Liquid Death Water. It's a brand of water called Liquid Death. I was trying very hard to get a sponsorship from them, and I've decided that they're canceled. So, hashtag fuck Liquid Death. I didn't want to say that because that seemed too aggressive, and I don't want you commenting that on their Instagram. But honestly, you know, fuck them. Fuck them. If they're not going to give me the time of day, I'm such a supporter of theirs. But if they're not going to sponsor this, then I have to go. I'm going to take my podcast to Awkwafina. Not the talented comedian. The water brand. That's what it's called, right? The water, Awkwafina. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. She just spells hers differently, like awkward. Awkward Fina, Awkwafina. I'm taking my podcast to other water brands, like Dasani. One of the best waters. That's obviously sarcastic. Dasani's trash, but I would rather have them sponsor me if they were interested than Liquid Death. I bought two cases. You have to get them shipped. But I recently found it at my local 7-Eleven. I thought, whatever. Anyway, I got two big-ass packages shipped to my home. And I had to carry them. They're heavy. That's a lot of water. And I carried them into my bedroom, thinking that maybe if I supported them and talked about them on the pod, they would want to support me. And they don't. And I don't fuck with people that don't fuck with me. So I'm burning that bridge. The bridge is being burnt and it's not being put out with Liquid Death water, I'll tell you that. Speaking of burnt, Los Angeles is on fire currently. Are we all acting like it's not? Yeah, we're all just going about our days acting like it doesn't smell like a huge bonfire in Los Angeles. I walk out of my house and I feel like I need to have marshmallows and graham crackers on me at all times. The fire is so far yet so close. And do I complain about the quality of air? Meanwhile, I'm juuling constantly. Yeah, but the juul hits better when the air quality is good. And now the air quality is bad and the Juul just hits different. Them LA fires make that Juul hit different and it's a problem. So shout out to the firefighters. My uncle is a retired firefighter. So shout out Uncle Mike. He's so good looking. He's such a hot uncle. And it's not by blood. So it's fine that I say that. It's totally fine that I say that. He's just so good looking. Most firefighters are. But some aren't, you know. Anyway, I got off on a tangent. Yeah, I do want sponsors for this podcast. I think I'm just going to I'm going to continue to reach out to people whose products I use a lot. So that way I can just like get their stuff that I already buy on my own. What do I get a lot? Do you think Taco Bell will sponsor me? Nah, they only sponsor like YouTube stars and former Viners, former Vine stars. What else? Oh, you know what would be sick? Hanes. Do you think Hanes gets sponsors? Like, I don't know. I've gotten very into socks. I've stepped up. You know what? I'm becoming a grown woman. And I've noticed it in small ways. Not only do I pay my rent somewhat on time, but now I get, like, adult socks. Like, I get socks that go up a little bit, you know, not to show too much leg and make you all horned up. But, you know, I get these nice black socks. That's a real adult move. And I got some fun socks from Uniqlo. It needs to come with a way to say it. Uniqlo is like my LaCroix. Some people say LaCroix, but it says on their website, LaCroix rhymes with enjoy. Unless you say enjoy, enjoie, then you're saying it wrong. But yeah, Uniqlo. Ugh, whatever, potato, potato. They have great socks. So I got these adult-ass black high socks. And then I got some high white socks, but I found out soon after that the white high socks don't really go well with anything. So those might just be my nighttime socks, my little nighty-night socks. My toes are so cold before bed socks. Or maybe they're with my Birkenstock socks. My socks with my Birkenstocks. What a boring rant to be going on this early in the morning. And then I got, this is exciting. Wow. This is really going to blow the lid off this podcast. Only 10 minutes deep into the episode so far. I got some glittery socks. Got some glittery socks, some blue glittery socks and some gold glittery socks. And those just add a little pop. And then when I was in London, wow, I'm really it's Socktober. It's the very end of Socktober. In London, I stopped into this little shop that had cute socks and it was three for some cheap price. So I got three socks. They're very fun. Anyway, so that's how I can tell I'm being a woman, a grown up, an adult, is by my sock choices. And also, I got a queen size bed and I got a queen size bed frame. And I just want to make another. I shouted him out a couple weeks ago, but now that it's all complete, I just want to give another shout out to Dan Donahue. He's Not Bad Dan on Instagram. He's very strong. He's like a man's man, you know? He's very handsome too. If you're single out there, he's a handsome guy. Good with his hands. I'm not saying that in a sexual way. But he did build me my bed frame and he did take down my old bed frame. When you have a bed frame, it just, life is better on a bed frame. Because I used to, when I first moved out here, I didn't have a bed frame. I just had my box, what are they called? Like a box spring or whatever. And then my bed on the floor. And that's sad. The lower to the floor you are, the more you feel like, you know, dirty socks. Oh my God, you know when you're like, when it feels like there's something coming out of your nose and you just keep touching it and there's nothing there, but you're convinced that there's like something. Anyway, my nose itches. I'm not picking my nose, okay? Okay, I hate when you're itching your nose and someone's like, oh, you're picking your nose. No, I'm not. I got an itch on my nose. If I was picking my nose, you better believe you're going to see that finger go right into my mouth after, okay? So no, I'm not picking my nose. I have an itch. Anyway, so Dan sat on my bed, which was very sweet of him, and he didn't even make me have sex with him on the bed after, which is a real gentleman move, you know? I thought that I might have to, and I didn't. There was no, you know, because that's a very sexual act to build a woman a bed frame. You know, you think after we put this mattress on top of this bed frame I built with my bare hands and IKEA's craftsmanship, we're going to plow on this bed. And that didn't happen. I'm sure he would have been, you know, fine if I made that move, but that didn't happen. I just had a nice night's sleep in the bed after. And then I was like, LOL, wouldn't it be so funny if you also built and put up these shelves I bought on Amazon? And he did that as well. So now I have like a grown-up bathroom with like shelves for all of my creams and potions and lubricants, facial lubricants. I don't use lube. You know I'm always wet, baby. You know your girl has an overactive vagina. I do. That's what my gyno said. She said I have an overactive vagina. And I was like, if you only knew, bitch. Yeah, I got a lot of, anyway, don't need to get into it. A lot of discharge. My vagina's like a inactive military member. A lot of discharge. Wow. What a fun podcast this is. Yeah, so now I have like an adult room, it feels like. Now the next step into being an adult is getting picture frames. I need some artwork. Right now I just have postcards. I have like these horny postcards just tacked onto my wall. And you know, it's fun. It's quirky. But I think I either keep the postcards with like girls on the beach in bathing suits and like guys in patriotic swim trunks with their abs and they're all greased up and like old-fashioned car postcards. It's like very Southern California postcards that I got for like 50 cents. I think I either keep those but put them in really nice, not really nice, just frames. That's kind of a baller move. Or just get actual artwork in frames, another baller move. But I don't know, I just want to get my own place. I have 3 roommates, God bless them. I want to have my own place. I want to have like a small, like one of those little mini homes, but without wheels. I want a cute little cozy place. I don't want a big ass. I mean, not only can I not afford a big ass place, I don't even know if I can afford a small ass place, but yeah, it would be nice to have my own spot, but I like my place. It's good. I like having my own room and my own bathroom. I just want to deck it out. This is another sign that I'm becoming a grown woman, as I started following interior decorator Instagram pages. It's sad. This is what happens when I don't have a job anymore. Yeah, big spoiler alert. I put in my 2 weeks at the Comedy Store. I went to London. I don't work at the Comedy Store anymore as a door guy. I still perform there and whatnot, but I am not an employee of the Comedy Store, which is very fun, very nice. And then I come home from London thinking that I'm still going to be nannying 3 days a week. And this little bitch of a baby decides she wants to go to school. How fucking rude. So now I'm only watching this dumb baby, this dumb little bitch, one day a week. Get the fuck out of here. So, you know, we'll see if I don't end up homeless. I think I'll be fine. Comedy's going fine. I'm doing great. But things change, you know? I could be shooting up crack next week. That'll be a fun podcast episode if I'm being honest. It'd definitely be a different energy. Right now, I have a ketamine vibe. Got the big K-hole vibes. This is the perfect podcast to listen to if you're in a K-hole. For those of you who are, you know, dear fans and followers of this podcast, then you know how I feel about, you've heard me talk about, you know, my past experience in London. I think I talked about it. They all roll their cigarettes and stuff, you know, poverty cigarettes. And big update, I finally learned how to roll a cigarette on my own. I felt so good about myself. It gave me a new sense of confidence that I didn't know I had, something that I've struggled with for a long time. And I finally was able to roll a cigarette on my own, with the guidance and the positive reinforcement and encouragement from London comic Ed Knight. Look him up. He's a dumb bitch, and I just adore him. He's 23, about to be 24. He's like, he's a young little chap. I was gonna say he's like me, but he's not. We're very different. Not, I mean, we're fine. We're kind of different, but he's young. He's been doing comedy the same amount of time as I have, around the same amount of time. Anyway, it's just cool meeting comics in London who are like, you know, around, like, I met this guy on my very first trip to London. His name's Michael Odawale. So look him up. If you're looking up these people, look him up. On my very first trip to London, I met him at this like open mic show thing. And he was the same age as me, had been doing comedy the same amount of time as me. And so it's just been cool to like get to see these comics who like I would be friends with if they lived out here or if I lived out there, but to kind of like just see them grow in a different area and like see how their path, you know, how, what their journey is like, but in the UK. And then, okay, I need to just like get through this. Okay, so I went to London. I dyed my hair like the day before. Or 2 days before. The night that I dyed my hair, it was like super vibrant and it was a lot for me to process and take in. And I went to see Portugal the Man at the Troubadour that night and it was so much fun and I felt like Hayley Williams from Paramore. I wish. And went to watch their show and it was so much fun. They're so great. They're such good people. If you don't know who Portugal the Man is, they have that, their big hit song, can't keep my hands to myself, they gonna do my wanna make them on the show, ooh, I'm a rebel just for kicks now. But, like, listen to all of their music, they're such great musicians and performers and people, and I freaking love them so much. So I went to watch their show, it was a blast. I don't think I had ever been to the Troubadour. But iconic Sunset Strip music venue. So if you're in LA, go see a show at the Troubadour. They always have really great acts there. So I saw them and then I went to freaking London with my new red hair. Got right through security. They were like, this woman has nothing to lose. We don't even want to ask her questions about why she's traveling here. Because that hair was really, you know, jarring. So they were like, just leave us alone. So I get to London. The first place I go when I'm in London is to the Top Secret Comedy Club. It's one of my favorite freaking comedy clubs in London. I love it so much. This guy Mark runs it, Mark Rotham. He is a lovely fellow. He's just a light. You know, and that club is really cool because, I mean, some people were asking me this on Resting Bee Pod Instagram, like the difference between, you know, the LA comedy scene or just like the US comedy scene in London / UK, Britain, whatever, England, all that stuff. So this club is very special and unique because they have two rooms. It's the downstairs and then the upstairs room. The upstairs room is like more smaller and intimate and feels like a New York comedy club. Like the ceiling's very low. It just has like a very cool feel to it. A very New York feel. And then the downstairs is like the much bigger room. And that room is really, I mean, both funds are room. Both rooms are fun. But the cool thing is they have the exact same lineup for the upstairs and the downstairs. And so the comics just rotate. So they get two completely different audiences, but they get to do two sets back to back. So you'll either do upstairs first and then downstairs after, or downstairs first and upstairs after. And you might be thinking, Allie, how the fuck does that even work? How do they do that? Because in fucking the UK, and I think just in Europe, maybe in general, I'm not super sure, but they do intermissions. They do like intervals. So they'll have like three parts of a show. And a lot of like comics out here are like, how does that even work? That makes no sense. I think it works out better than any format ever. But I was also talking to another comic about this. I was talking to my friend Mekki about this. I feel like it is a good way to run a show, but I think the way that we run shows out here, like in LA or New York or wherever, it might not be the best format for a show, but it is the best at making comics really good. Because like typically at a show out here, you know, you have the host, and the host isn't always necessarily like a well-known comic. It's usually like, you know, someone who's kind of starting out. And you know, I host Joe's shows and I'm like the least successful person on that lineup. And it's an opportunity for me to like open a show, get comfortable on stage. And it's honestly the hardest spot to have. And so as a new comic, not only are you not as funny as the rest of the comics, but you're in the hardest position on a show. And so out here we have the host, and that's like, you know, everyone's getting settled in, they're ordering drinks, blah, blah, blah. It's just like a tough spot. So it makes you, you know, if you learn from those experiences, it makes you a really strong comic after a while. And then after the host is, you know, typically the two comics or, you know, however long the lineup is, the comics in the middle are like, you know, the show kind of gets better and better. And then finally you have the headliner who's like the most successful or the best or whatever. That's typically how a show runs out here. And so, you know, as an audience member in the States, that the last comic typically is going to be the best or the most like hyped up comic or whatever it is. Here's the thing. Out in the UK, the host is the biggest name on the lineup. They get paid the most. They're normally the draw of the show. So that's like, say, you know, you get what I'm saying. That's like if, who's a headliner? That's like if, like Anthony Jeselnik was on a bill with, you know, me and two of my friends who are at the same level as me. And like one who's like kind of in the middle between, you know, Anthony Jeselnik and I. It would be like Anthony's the host of the show in the UK. That's how it would work. Like Anthony would be like, if he's the biggest name on the bill, he's the one hosting. He's doing like 20 minutes up top hosting. And then he brings up me. And then he brings up like someone else at my level. Or actually there would be like an interval. Anyway, I'm kind of making this more complicated than it needs to be. In the UK, the biggest name on the bill is the host. So they go up first, they do about 15 or 20 minutes, and then they'll have like two comics after that doing 10 minutes. And so now those two comics after that are in such a sweet spot because the show's already great because the best comic on the lineup just went up. So even if you kind of are fine at comedy or suck at comedy or whatever, you're in such a sweet spot because the audience is having such a good time that you're probably going to have a pretty good set after that. So then after that, there's an interval. So that means that no one is walking out during your set to go grab a drink or go to the bathroom. There's like not as many distractions because people aren't getting up during people's sets and shuffling around. They know that they're going to have, you know, after that first section, they're going to have like 15 minutes to smoke a cigarette outside, Jewel in the bathroom, take a dump, grab some drinks, whatever. And then the show starts again and they have the middle person going up. That's like, you know, the person who's in between the beginner and the host or headliner or whatever. That person does like 20 minutes or 30 minutes right in the middle. And then there's another interval. And then the show closes out with like two or three more comics doing shorter sets. Obviously, it varies show to show. But I just think the interval intermission system works so well. I think it's such a great idea. And I don't know, it might just work really well because it's part of their culture. But yeah, I think it's good for a show, but I don't think it's necessarily as good for like developing comics and like making comics really like struggle, which is why doing comedy in LA or New York can be very difficult because you're not set up to do well. You know, you're just kind of going up on this show being like, you know, the little tuna fish with all these big salmons and trouts and whatever. But it's super fun. It makes for a really good time and a good vibe. And I love it so much. I'm really bummed that I didn't get to see Tom Ward when I was there. I saw him last time when I was in London at Top Secret. And I think he's so funny. I didn't get to see him on this trip, which is a bummer. But I did get to see someone my very first time going to like Europe. I went to London, Paris, and Berlin, and I did comedy in Berlin. This was like 4 years ago or something. And when I was in Berlin, not only did I meet my now very good friend Brian Vokey, but I also met a comic who was doing stand-up in Berlin for a year named Helen Bauer. And I got to do this show at the Bill Murray. It was like my own show. Like I was the headliner. And it could have just been like me doing a whole set. But I was like, I want to have my friends open the show. So I saw Helen for the first time in like 3 or 4 years since I saw her in Berlin. And she's so funny. Oh my God. If you live in London, like find a way to see Helen Bauer. She's hilarious. And so I had her open my show, and I had my friend Omid Singh open the show, who goes back and forth kind of between London and LA. And then I got to do about 30 minutes. I was supposed to do longer, but the show was running late and the timing got a little bit messed up. So I only did about 30 minutes, but it was very fun and good, and I'm really happy with it. And next time I go out there, I will be doing a longer set. And I'm happy with the turnout. I didn't think anyone would show up because it was kind of a last minute thing. And it was at like Sunday at 5:30, which is a weird time to go to a comedy show. But it was a better turnout than I expected. I was hoping for at least like 30 people. And I think there were about 50 people there, I want to say. Maybe less. But anyway, it still was like a really good, fun show. And my friends came out. Strangers came out. There's this one guy whose name I don't know who hit me up on Twitter and I felt so bad. This guy took a fucking train. Like it took him a long time to get to the show. And he ended up getting there a little bit late and they wouldn't let him in. And he had to go all the way back. But I'll be out there again and I will buy you a drink. And I'm so sorry that happened. That's like sweet that anyone would come out to see me, let alone like travel any amount of time to go out of their way to see me. So anyway, that went well. Daniel Kitson is another comic out there who's very funny. I got to do a show. He was the host, which means he's like the best on the bill. He's really cool because he's just like rock solid stand-up comic, and he like doesn't have any social media. He like turns down big roles on TV shows because he's like, I just want to be doing this. And he's just cool, really like super nice dude. It's just so fun out there. There's like, I feel like out in LA, maybe because the way, I don't know, there is like more competition out here. Like I don't really look at it as competition necessarily, but there is like a competitiveness to comedy out here. And out there, it just feels like it's kind of corny, and I kind of don't like this about it, but it is like a fun change of pace. Like it is like super supportive and like all super community. And I think it's also because they just have like a smaller scene than out here. But it was like a refreshing, nice change of pace. And it made me really excited to just like sometimes I forget that I'm just doing comedy because I really enjoy doing it and it's just for fun and it's not that serious, you know? And so going out there and just doing a bunch of shows and hanging out and just having a good time meeting these comics and going to the park during the day and then just doing shows at night, I was like, oh yeah, this is like just for fun. Like, I'm allowed to just, like, have fun and do this. Because sometimes it feels very, like, what's next for me? What am I going to do? What should I be focusing on? Like, you know, should I have gotten that one thing? And so then coming back home after this trip gave me, like, this, like, really, like, I just feel lighter. Like, I feel, like, a weight lifted. And I just feel really excited about comedy. And I always have, but, you know, it's just different. And it'll probably only last another week and whatever, but it was just a nice reminder that I really love what I do and I'm excited that I get to do it. And that's all that really matters. Like, I don't need to get anything from this. Like, there's no, I mean, obviously I have goals and dreams and want to accomplish a lot, but it's like, at the end of the day, if I just get to, like, do comedy and I get to get better at it, like, that's all I want, really. So it was a really great trip. It was very eat, pray, love. I feel rejuvenated. I feel refreshed. I am hotter since my trip, and I don't know what happened, but, you know, that happened. So that was super fun. And then I came back home, and I feel like I'm doing, like, a really decent amount of shows. Like, I feel like I'm getting booked more, which is really nice, to just be, like, consistent with performing at shows. I got to do this really fun show in Venice. It was a charity show for, A Safe Place for Youth, which is my friend Cody Metzger works there, and me and Cody actually started comedy together, and now she does that full time. She works at this nonprofit, but Don't Tell Comedy, which is this group. It's really cool. They do, like, pop-up shows at different businesses and stuff. It was their 1,000th show, so they kind of worked together to put on this show, and it was packed. It was at, like, Vice Media at their studio in Venice, at their office space in Venice. It was an outdoor show. There were, like, 300 people there. It was so much fun. It was, like, such a nice way to come home. Venice is a weird place, though. Everyone looks dirty and clean at the same time. Everyone has a CBD business. Everyone is, like, you know, some tech app developer who already comes from money, but, you know. Anyway, super fun shows. Yeah, I love Don't Tell Comedy. So wherever you live, look up, go to their website, like, Don't Tell Comedy, because they put on really good shows in a lot of places across the U.S. So there's a good chance that there is a good show near where you live. They're just great, great shows, great people. They have a really fun idea for how to run a comedy show, and I think it's really exciting what they're doing. So you know how, like, there's always that annoying girl who, like, studies abroad in college and then comes back and suddenly has an accent and starts saying cheers instead of thanks? I've become that girl, but instead of drinking cold brew, I started drinking English breakfast tea, like a real bitch. It's a real bitch move, and it is embarrassing to admit that, but, you know, I like to be honest with you guys and share my truth, my authentic self with you, and I started doing tea, and you know what? It does get me geeked up, but in, like, a less anxious way than cold brew does, because cold brew makes me, like, grind my teeth and, you know, call up a Coke dealer. With the English breakfast tea, it gives me the right amount of caffeine to not make those mistakes. And, yeah, I really fuck with it. There's an art to how to make the tea the right way. I let my tea steep in the hot water for 4 to 5 minutes, 3 at the least. And I like to do it with the lid off so it kind of cools down while it's steeping. And then after 3 to 5 minutes, I take the tea bag out. And I put in some milk. Any milk will do. I put in a little splash of milk and then some sugar, either Splenda or real sugar. And then I wait a little bit and I drink that bitch up real quick, and it's so good. And then I'll end my day, like, around 4 p.m. Then I'll have maybe a coffee or a latte or something. But starting my day with the tea, real classy touch. I feel real classy doing that. So yeah, I'm a little bit embarrassed and shameful over it, but, you know, I'm cultured, so whatever, leave me alone. Okay, what else? The squirrels in London are very nice. If you go to the park, the squirrels will come up to you. The squirrels are horny for attention over there. Unlike here, where the squirrels can't even be bothered for a picture or anything. I don't know why I wrote that down as a note, as if that was like going to be really riveting and that people would want to know that. I think that was just like a backup side note in case I had nothing else to talk about. I can be like, squirrels are crazy, right? The Tate. I went to the Tate. All the art galleries and museums there are free, but donation based. Or unless there's like an exhibit, you can pay for that. I got to go to the Oliver Eliasson. I don't know how to pronounce the last name. Eliasson. Anyway, his name is Oliver, which is such a sick ass freaking name. O-L-A-F-U-R. Oliver. His exhibit was really great. And then this one exhibit called like Nam June Pike. That was super sick. The Tate is lit. Always go to the Tate if you're in London. It's right by the Shakespeare's Globe, which isn't really his globe because I'm pretty sure it burned down and they also moved it across the pond at one point. There's like this lake or river or something. I'm not familiar with the difference between bodies of water. But anyway, the alleged Shakespeare's Globe is next to it. They have these dumbass dudes and chicks sitting nearby with their little lame-ass typewriters saying they'll write a poem for you. However much you want to pay, they'll write a poem. And they wrote some... Anyone can write a poem. It's not real. I can write a poem right now. Roses are red. Okay. If I had a typewriter, it would be a lot easier. And if I had a subject... But anyone can write a poem. You can say anything is poetry. I can write the notes that I wrote for this podcast could be a poem. London, top secret, redhead host, best on show, Daniel Kitson, intervals, run along set at Bill Murray with Omid and Helen, quit the comedy store, nannying one day a week. That's a poem. If that's not a poem about life as a millennial, then I don't know what is. So... yeah, I did buy two poems on two separate occasions. Was it a mistake? Yeah. But I did like to watch them pretend they were doing something meaningful. I did attempt to drool on the plane again, as I always do. It never works. They always explode, like, all over me in my pocket when I'm trying to inhale it in the bathroom. It's not a reliable vape to smoke on a plane. I always get too nervous too, and it just doesn't hit the same on the plane. You don't get the same clouds, so that's annoying. Museums are boring. As much as I do like them, they are boring. I never know what to say. Each piece I walk by, I just go, oh, cool. That's as far as my vocabulary goes in a museum. I went to the National Portrait Gallery over there. A lot of whites, except for they had a portrait of the, I think it was like this courtroom scene of them abolishing slavery, and that was the only portrait that wasn't just all whites. I believe they had one or two black people painted in that portrait. But yeah, they even had Ed Sheeran, who is the pop king of whites. He was not in the abolished slavery portrait, but that would be kind of a sick collab, blending the new with the old. And then while I was there, Mr. Ed Knight and Miss Helen Bauer sparked a fire for musicals in me that I forgot I had. We were singing show tunes from musicals, and they were talking about this show that used to be a reality show on MTV, but they released it on YouTube. It's called Legally Blonde, the musical, The Search for the Next Elle Woods. If you have plenty of time to kill, binge watch it. It's good. And now I can't stop listening to songs from musicals. And I want to go to the Pantages and watch a musical soon. I really want to see Dear Evan Hansen. I'm obsessed with Ben Platt. And I really want to see that musical. I've only seen The Wizard of Oz and The Book of Mormon. Me and when I was younger, I had a stepsister. She didn't die or anything. Our parents just separated, so now I don't know what to call them. My old stepmom, like, yeah, sure, she's older, but it's not like anyway. So my former stepsister and I would put on plays for our parents, and they weren't good, but it was super fun to do, and that's all I have to say about that. I'm going to go to questions because I feel like it. Check out my website. It's updated, alliemakovsky.com. I got some shows coming up. I'm going to be in San Francisco with Papa Andrew Santino, with Daddy Santino. We're going to be there November 15th and 16th, I believe. Let me just double check that. We're going to be at Cobb's. I thought we were going to be at Punchline. Nope, we're going to be at Cobb's on, yeah, the 15th and the 16th, baby. It's going to be a damn blast. And then I think I'm going to be in Florida in January. I'm definitely doing that cruise. That's going to be a nightmare, but maybe fun. Me and Ty Dolla $ign are going to become best friends on this cruise. I think it's called like the Friendship Cruise or something. Friendship Festival. It's the Fyre Festival of cruises, but it'll be a blast. So that leaves out of Miami, and it's like a 5-day cruise. And when it gets back into Florida, I might be doing a run of shows all around Florida. So if you live in Florida, stay tuned for that in January, like January 10th through something. Am I going anywhere else? I might be going on some other Rogan dates, but I'm not sure yet. It's always kind of last minute when that happens. But yeah, anyway, my website is updated, so check that out if you're curious where I'll be. It's mostly just LA stuff, but whatevs. What's your sign, and what do you think about astrology? I don't think much about astrology. I look like someone who would be very into that stuff. I'm a Virgo. I think there's some things that I'm like, yeah, those are like Virgo qualities, but I think too many people put all of themselves onto their astrology, and it's like, you can't be a bitch because you're a Scorpio. Like, sometimes you're just a bitch because that's how you were raised, maybe. I don't know what happened. But it's not all because of your star sign. I think some of it might play. Yeah, whatever. I'm a Virgo. What do you get in your coffee? More coffee. Usually I just do it black, but sometimes I'll put in all the works, all the creams and sugars. How to be cool around boyfriend's family for the holidays. Severe social anxiety. Okay, here's what you do. You just ask if you can help the family with things. Oh, do you need it? Can I help you with the cooking? Or just kind of, don't even ask. Just kind of like throw yourself into helping. Just act like it's your family, but better. Like, instead of yelling at them, just start doing the dishes. Like, if the don't be like, can I do the dishes? Because they're going to say, oh, no, sit down. Just start doing, like, the dishes. Because then you don't really have to talk to people. They'll think you're cool and nice. And when in doubt, just pretend like you're taking the longest shit ever in the bathroom, and you can avoid them for at least 10 minutes. Tell, please, about Kanye West Sunday service experience. Yeah, so my friend got tickets to Kanye West Sunday service at the Forum. If you're not familiar, Kanye is a Christian now, or he always has been, but he really is now. And he's been doing these, like, Sunday church services in Calabasas, where he lives. And he has this beautiful choir, but he decided to open it to the public and do it at the Forum, which is a really nice venue out here in LA. And, I mean, the choir is beautiful. My seats were very close to God. We were super high up. And I wasn't wearing my glasses, so I couldn't really see anything. But it sounded beautiful. The pastor that they had there to do the sermon, I felt, was doing not a great job. I went through a Christian phase in high school because I went to school in Orange County, and everyone there who was popular is Christian. I mean, just everyone there is Christian, really. So I went through a Christian phase, and I don't take it too literally, but I do enjoy, like, you know, a Christian service. I think that sometimes they can be really beautiful and uplifting and fun, and the worship. Dude, I love Christian worship music. It gets me going. That shit gets me turned up. So I enjoyed it a lot, but I felt like the sermon was kind of like hacky. He out of all the freaking verses in the Bible, he went with John 3:16. I'm like, do you think we've never heard of God before? It was a bad sermon, but God bless him, you know? God was speaking through him that day, and God might have been busy. God might have not been all there. So it was a bad sermon, but the music portion was really beautiful, and the choir's great, and whatever. It's overrated, if I'm being honest. It's a bit much. I bought a sweater that was way too expensive. I have to look for a job now. I'm gonna put my house into commission or escrow or whatever. The sweater is way too expensive. Is it nice quality? I don't think so. I think it's like Gildan. It was so expensive. But I was wearing this shirt. I was wearing this tube top, and my little titties was kind of popping out. Because I wasn't sure what the vibe would be. Like, is it kind of thotty or kind of churchy? So I thought I'd do both. And it was definitely more of a church service than a thought turn up. So I felt very inappropriate. And it was also very cold in there. And, you know, the attention should be on the Lord, not on my beautiful bitties. So I bought a sweater to cover them up and also to flex on everyone. Okay. I'm answering the questions first on the Resting Bee Pod Instagram, because I feel like if you're following that, then you're a down-ass bitch, and I'm gonna take your questions before the people on my own personal Instagram. If you had to have a career that didn't have to do with fame in Hollywood, what would it be? I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I've always had, like, a truck driver fantasy. I think at some point I'll get a truck driver on the podcast. My social economics, I think that's what the class was called. Oh my God, I have the hiccups. I think that's what the class was called in high school. He used to be a truck driver. He was kind of hot too. He made us do this thing in class. This is off the subject, but there's this, I forget what it's called. I think it's like this African tradition, or like some sort of like African way of singing. Maybe it's not even African. It might be like something else. I think it is, though. It's where you hit two notes at the same time, so you'll be like, but then also like, but then both of those notes like combine. Fuck, I forget what it's called. But he said we would get extra credit if we did it in front of the class, and it's very embarrassing to do in front of your class. But I was failing that, and I needed extra credit, so I did it, and I did pass that class. Oh, so what would I be if I wasn't? I'd probably do something just like, what would I do? Maybe like makeup or something. Man, I really don't know what I would do if I wasn't doing this, besides like truck driving. Yeah, sorry. I'll think about it. Get back to you. Because I feel like every once in a while I think about it. Every once in a while I'll be in the car like, what would I do if I lived in Nebraska? What would I do if I lived in Montana? You know what would be sick? To work on a farm. Milk some cows, ride some horses. Yeah, that's what I would do. I would live in like Montana. In a farm. Why did you block me on your main account? Probably because you said some dumb shit that I don't fuck with, and I don't have time or patience to deal with that negative energy. Okay, that's a warning to all of you. Okay. General life advice for a 31-year-old male. Okay, now I've never been a man or 31 years old, so I'm not sure what I could tell you or what you're going through, but I imagine at 31, you're starting to feel like you've crossed that threshold of being a juvenile and getting away with doing silly stuff, and now life feels real to you, and you're starting to look at it in a way of like, now what am I going to do till I die? And I want you to not look at it in that way. I want you to find what brings you passion, what fulfills you. Unless it's like, you know, something creepy or bad. Like if you're like, what fulfills me is murdering goats, then maybe don't do that. But just think of what makes you, I don't know. 31-year-old dude. Just like, oh, you know what you should do? Find a community group. Something like when I was in, I think like middle school or high school, I joined this group of other people my age who would coach a youth soccer team for kids with disabilities. Most of them with Down syndrome. And that was really fun because I got to interact with a lot of people from my community and from my school that I wouldn't have, you know, been friends with otherwise. But we all did this thing together every week, and that was really fun. So maybe like find something in your area that can bring you closer to your community. I saw The Joker and now I'm like very inspired to get people feeling like the world isn't scary. Am I the Joker? Yes. Ha 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 ha. It was such a good movie. Seriously. And you know what's fucked up about it? There was a part that like just really hit me because oh my god, it's so embarrassing. So the Joker in this movie is a stand-up comedian. What a fun angle. But in his joke book, he also has these like really dark thoughts and like things that he writes down about his life. And in my very first notebook, it was like a lot of my like, you know, jokes that I was working on. But I remember that once it got kind of towards the end of the joke book, I was like maybe a year into comedy at this point. Like I just hit a year, or I was about to hit a year of doing stand-up. I wrote in the very back of it, I was like, I'm a virus and anyone who gets close to me gets infected. And like life is very dark and sad. And I'm so I'm just a bad person to be around and no one wants to hang out with me. And if they do, they're going to regret it because I'm a virus. And it was like very sad and emo. It was like the lyrics to a My Chemical Romance song in the back of there. And guess what? I lost it. After I wrote that, like literally 2 days after I wrote that emo shit in there, it just disappeared. And I hope someone has it and they make fun of me every day. But I think it might have just fallen out of my pocket on the street and then just disappeared forever. How embarrassing if someone has it. I really hope no one has it because it was very sad. But I am curious what my early jokes were. What are you going to do when you're too old to be on parents' insurance? Are you stressed about it? Absolutely. Yeah, I'm stressed about it. I don't know what I'm going to do. Just not get sick. Just pray. You know what? I'm going to start going to Kanye's Sunday service church thing when I turn 26. And God will protect me. Nobody need insurance when you got God. That was a very bad Southern accent. And also offensive. Because there are some smart Southern people. I know a couple. You don't need no parents' insurance when you got God. That was a better... nope, it was bad. I shouldn't do that. Would you do meth with Trisha Paytas? I love that bitch. I am not... I don't watch a lot of her YouTube videos, but I do know who she is. And I think if I were to do meth, She would be the most fun person to do it with. I feel like she's not on meth, I don't think, but I feel like I would get like a contact high from spending any time with her where it would feel like I was on meth, because she just has that energy. How do you feel about psychedelics? I've never done them. I would be interested in doing mushrooms at some point in my life. I feel like if I did acid, I wouldn't get out of it. I would just be stuck in a trip. When are you quitting juuling? Never. I've thought about it. It does burn my throat and I think it's not good for me. But it's who I am and I can't stop. I did lose my juul at Sunday service. Is that a sign from God to quit juuling? Or is it a sign from God to only stick to one juul at a time and not be greedy? Favorite fast food? Taco Bell. I'm back on the McDonald's train because in London, McDonald's is better. And so now I have like... Dude, I'm so lame. I'm such a cornball. I'm one of those people now who travels and then just like becomes... I just like, whatever. Yeah, I really like Taco Bell. McDonald's. I honestly just kind of... Taco Bell. That's the most common fast food I get. Okay, those are really... How much time was that? 55. I think that's a great place to leave it. Leave you guys wanting, like, a little bit more for the next episode. You know? Kind of make you want to know what happens. But I pretty much covered all of it. I'm going to be in Long Beach on... November 2nd at the Long Beach Laugh Factory. So that's great. If you're in Long Beach, I'm also going to be at ComplexCon. So if you're at ComplexCon in Long Beach, come find me. Say what's up. What's poppin'? Okay, I think that's it. Bye. I love you. It's good to see you. Miss you guys a lot. Mwah.